Hey, this is Derek.
And this is Carrie from the Better Conversations podcast.
And when we aren't talking about money and marriage, we're listening to Mary and Blake on the podcast about parenting, ParentCast.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to parents, new babies, and their new adventures together. So listen and relax, folks, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 18 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I wish I was half as smart and talented as our guests today, Derek and Carrie.
Seriously, they are so well put together and they have a newborn.
I know. And like they're saving money and they know what they're talking about.
We're still wicked poor and we have a 15-month-old. We don't know what the heck we're doing.
Our house is a mess. We're super poor. I don't even know how we can afford to get on iTunes and it's free. Seriously.
Yeah, they are great. You know, it's so funny while we talk about finances, it's a big stress for people for pretty much all of your life. You're always worried about money, except like when you're a kid.
Or unless you're Derek and Carrie.
They stressed. That their story is that they went through foreclosure. They were buying a house or they were selling a house. They're going to tell us more about it.
Yep.
But they went through a very stressful financial situation and then they found their zen. They found their chi when it comes to finances. And that's what I'm really excited about for us to one day find.
I'm waiting for our zen. I'm not going to lie. How do I have to meditate for that?
I feel like we need to burn incense and listen to Enya.
Who listens to Enya anymore? Honestly, do you know anybody that listens to Enya for fun?
She's definitely on my meditative station.
Like, do you sit there and you're like, dude, you know what I could go for right now? Enya. I love Enya.
Was she the one that sang, I will go down with this ship? Or was it Sarah?
No, I think that was... Oh, I don't know. No, I think that's Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, that was. Enya was the one with Eminem, right?
I don't know.
I don't... Look, we don't
You're
even
You're asking
know.
The wrong guy about Enya.
Anyway.
If you ask me something about, like, you know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, I'll help you. But Enya, not on my playlist. I'm not going to lie.
You know what I am going to ask you?
What?
I want to know all about your judgment-free zone
story.
If you're new to ParentCast, the judgment-free zone story is just a story for us to tell you a little bit of the real life of parents and how everything isn't sunshine, daisies, and perfect. You know what we are? The judgment-free zone is like the Pinterest fails. That's what
fails.
It really is. The epic fails of when... My favorite right now is the picture of all the kids who are in the pumpkins and they look like they're really cute in the pumpkin. And then reality, your kid is just screaming and like too skinny for your pumpkin.
It's pumpkin all over
so
them.
That is what the judgment-free zone is because we are all trying to be good parents.
Correct.
You're trying to be a good parent. We all mess up. So, Blake, tell us a story to make us feel better about ourselves.
I hate the beach. Hate the beach. Can't stand it. Don't like the sand. Don't like the water. Don't like the sun.
Can you tell everyone where we live?
In Rhode Island, like right near the beach. Like
which is called the Ocean State.
That's correct. I know. But I hate the freaking beach. The sand and the water and the sunscreen. It's hot and you're sweating and ugh. The whole thing just sucks, right? Well, we went to the beach on Sunday. And it wasn't all that bad. I enjoyed it, oddly enough. So Mary and I, we had Reese there, and we figure, we'll let Reese do whatever he wants to do. Just have fun. We're sitting there watching him. So the whole time, what's he doing? He's eating sand. Eating sand the whole time. And I figure as we pack up, and when the day is over, as we were packing up, I look over to him, and he's eating driftwood.
He moved on from sand.
He moved on from sand. Graduated to driftwood. And I'm not talking like was kind of like looking at it and like, you know, pecking at it a little bit. No. It was like this was a hot dog. And he had one end in his mouth and he was trying to chew this bad boy.
There were wood chips everywhere. Wood chips everywhere.
Like, I'm surprised he doesn't have splinters in his tongue because it was like he was like a woodchuck just mowing away at this thing. And I didn't even know what to do. We were just like, well, okay, you know, you're eating driftwood. I'm down. Just don't die. You're cool.
Please don't have splinters in your butt. That's
so
all I need.
I was not looking forward to that poop. And fortunately, I did not find any more splinters in his poop, which was great. Oh, driftwood.
It was natural fiber.
Yeah, I know. It was good. Hey, no problem. So, can eat some driftwood. You got a problem with that? Don't judge me. You don't know me.
That's right. Well, thank you for that perfect story.
Oh, my God.
So, we're going to talk about today's conversation. Just for those of you who didn't get to read the tagline, this is all about finances when you have a baby. Mm-hmm. Or if you're pregnant and you're preparing to have a baby. Because babies are, they're expensive little buggers. So, we called in some experts. So joining us now are Derek and Carrie Olson. They're from DerekandCarrie.com, Better Conversations on Love and Marriage. And it's been quoted that they are relatable, encouraging, and just with the right amount of fun. So hi, Derek and Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us here on ParentCast.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So excited to have you guys here. So before we get into the nitty gritty topic about finances with a baby, I just want to know a little bit more about you guys. How long have you been married and how did you jump into talking about finances?
Well, we've been married for about 3.5 years, so it'll be 4 years this October. And the way that we got started talking about finances, we were kind of forced into it, really. When we were engaged, well, actually, well before that, I bought a house, so before I even knew Derek. And so during our engagement, the house was actually almost going into foreclosure. And so we had to discuss this. All through. Sorry, that's my daughter, Amelie, interrupting a little.
Hello, Amelie. Remind us again how old she is.
She is 2 months old. Aww. She turned, 10 weeks.
She's participating in the podcast.
Yes, she wants to be heard. But so with my house situation, we had to start talking about finances early on, and we had to talk about them a lot. And we found out, I mean, it wasn't an enjoyable experience starting off, but we found out that we actually enjoyed it after a while and benefited a lot from it, and decided to start doing it more and even helping others to have difficult conversations about finances in their marriage.
That's awesome, because it really is such a difficult thing, even for people who've been together for years and years. I mean, finances in general are just such a taboo subject almost to talk about.
Yeah, people keep it so private. Like nobody ever talks about money. And then we try, once you get married, it gets even more complicated and you got to figure all of that stuff out. So it just can just be crazy, especially when you get married.
I know when we were getting married, we had to figure out if we were combining bank accounts and who was going to pay the bills and what we're going to do about student loans and all the other stuff. It was like, it was one of those conversations that was really tough. I wouldn't think that it'd be that hard to talk about something like that, but it's kind of embarrassing. Like, oh, I got debt, or how are we going to pay that off? You know?
Yeah. There's always that awkward conversation, perhaps when you're engaged, or maybe it's even after you get married, where you're like, well, let's lay it all out there. This is how much I earn. You know, this is my paycheck. This is how much I have, if you have any savings, and then here's my debt. And so leading up to that can be stressful. And then once it's all exposed, you know, it could just be kind of, it can go well, but most of the time it's like, oh man. So now, like, what does that mean for me? You know, your debt is now my debt. Is that what we're talking here? Or can get tense.
Sure. I feel like tax returns should be exchanged along with like,
yeah. Well, you know what? I heard, I don't know where I heard this, somewhere out there on the internet, there was a service. It was a dating service. Well, it wasn't forget that. It wasn't a dating service. It was just, you looked at somebody's credit score and you would have to decide whether you would date them or not based on their credit score.
Blake would not have dated me, and I probably wouldn't have dated him. He didn't have any credit just because he had all of his money stored, but he didn't have a credit card or all of these things. So when we were combining finances, I was like, oh, how is my credit score so much better than yours when I'm this poor musician who has put way too many things on credit cards? So,
and I don't have 1 ounce of credit card debt. So all right, so let's just get right to it. Let's get to the nitty gritty in this one. Pregnancy and finances. What are the biggest concerns we have here?
Oh gosh, let's see. Pregnancy and finances. That's something that you don't really you don't really know what to expect until you've experienced it for yourself. It's one of those things. You can hear stories, good and bad, about what it's like going in, but you just really don't know until you've experienced it. And I also think that every case is different, right? Depending on what kind of birth you had, if there were any complications, even the hospital you go to, insurance plays a huge part. Whether you're self-insured or you have a company, some companies pay 100% of the actual delivery, birth process. And so there's that to be discussed and figured out, the actual delivery. And then there's just the cost of you know, your little bundle of joy afterwards, clothing, supplies, you know, a crib, all of that kind of stuff, toys. So there's kind of that secondary thing. So we can talk about both of those things if you want to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, just get right into it. Why don't you go right ahead?
Well, for us, you know, our experience was we had a home birth. So that's Yeah, that's God bless my wife.
Yeah.
She did amazing. Carrie did amazing. And you know what? Do you want to talk a little bit about that, about how that went and everything?
Yeah, just about the home birth itself.
Yeah, because I showed Blake the business of being born, and I was like, Look how cool this is, it's a tub. And all he could say was, look at Ricky Lake's nipples.
Like, oh, God.
I was like, oh, hell no. That kid's not going to be born where I do my pull-ups. It's not going to happen.
That's awesome.
So I applaud you, because I think it's such a beautiful thing to have a home birth. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's actually kind of how it started with us too, was with the business of being born. I mean, I'd wanted to do it anyway, but the way that I kind of introduced it to Derek, because for someone who's not familiar with it, it sounds like, wait, you're going to have a midwife, which, you know, some people might think is just someone with, you know, comes in with a bucket and hot towels and, you know, you just give birth on the wooden floor in your living room. But yeah, Derek watched the video and he felt a lot more comfortable with it after that. And we have a lot of friends who did home birth as well. But financially, the way that it works, my company pays for birth 100%, but they don't cover midwives. And so if we were going to do the home birth route, that was going to have to be out of pocket. So that was something that we had to consider financially. You know, this is several thousand dollars versus a free delivery if we go to a hospital. But we fell in love with the idea. We interviewed several midwives and they all have varying prices. So if that is something that you're interested in, you know, there are different models of midwifery out there and different ways that that they charge. So we found one that we really liked. She's a certified nurse midwife, and she visited us in our home for all of my prenatal appointments. It was one fee for everything. So all the prenatal appointments, the delivery itself, and all of the supplies that, you know, we gave birth in a tub. So she had to provide that, the pool in our living room. And then the appointments afterwards for the baby, the well baby appointments, up to 6 weeks. So all of that was included in her fee. So that was, you know, it's a different model than if you go the traditional hospital route for birth.
That is very different. I honestly didn't even know that that's how it had to be done for some people. I just figured insurance took care of it, but that's because I'm very fortunate and insurance takes care of most of my medical needs. But you're right. It's something that, you know, not only can you be joyous about the pregnancy, but you really need to think about how financially you're going to just afford the pregnancy and birthing process before you even have the kid and need all of the stuff.
Right, right. And for us, I think it was just a matter of it was an out-of-network experience. Is that the best way to kind of describe it?
Yeah, I mean, for our insurance, if we'd gone to a birthing center and had a midwife, it would have been covered. But she was out-of-network since it was a home birth.
I always think, you know, health insurances are so funny. It's like the crunchier it is, the more homeopathic or natural it is. When you're trying to say, hi, I'm actually a healthy human being, please let me try to do this on my own or with minimal or some different kind of adjustments, they say no to it. Yeah. So I really applaud you guys for doing that. And to be honest, the pictures that you have on your website that captured the home birth, they were so beautiful. And it honestly just was one of the main reasons that I wanted to reach out to you. I felt like I get to know you guys by seeing these pictures of such a beautiful day. And I think that it's gorgeous. And I'm so glad that you actually did that.
Thank you. We love it also. We had no idea how that was going to turn out. And we just applaud our photographer who, you know, when you agree to photograph a birth, you're on call. You have no idea when, you know, labor is going to happen. And she came out and did an amazing job and made us that slideshow video. But yeah, we're super grateful.
So we already talked about debt. We were joking about it a little bit, but what kind of discussions should we be having as a couple regarding finances and planning while we're pregnant? You know, for example, like current debt, how do you tackle that? Do you stop paying altogether just to have the baby?
You know, it's situational, again, depending on each individual. That's one of the things that I love about personal finance is that everyone's situation is so different. So there's not really a one-size-fits-all approach. But what I can say is that if we back up and maybe go several months or even several years before considering having a baby, I always suggest for newlywed couples to live off of one salary. Let's say that both couples, both partners are working and earning a salary. Live on one salary and save 100% of the second salary. I always suggest that, and here's why. There's several different reasons why. Obviously, financially, you're going to be saving a ton of money. So when you do have a child and you need to pay for the birth and then everything afterwards, you know, all the clothes and toys and supplies and stuff like that, you've got thousands of dollars saved up. So it makes that transition a lot easier. Now that's kind of the obvious financial reason to do so. Now what I would say is almost even a better reason. You set your expectations as far as your lifestyle. You set them low. You set them off of one salary. So you don't go get two car payments. You don't get a big, giant house when you first get married and you don't have kids. And then you're tied to a mortgage. You're not taking on a whole lot of debt. You can even use that second salary. If you're not saving all of it, you can pay off a whole bunch of debt. You can pay down your debt as fast as you can. So the idea here is that you're setting your expectations of your lifestyle more closely in tune with what might be after you have a kid. And then what you can also do is after you have a kid and you've been living off of one salary that whole time, if one of you decides to quit your job, stay home with the kid and lose a salary, you'll barely even feel it because you've set up your entire financial life around one salary. So that's the way I kind of answer that question is it starts years before.
Derek, I wish I had talked to you 3 years ago. Yeah. Because honestly, this is one of the big problems that we're having right now is juggling the conversation about possibly my staying home and being a stay-at-home parent. And it's something that we're especially nervous about if we decide to have another child, because I feel like at that point, I'm not even making enough to support two children in childcare. So if people don't have the forward thinking that they should, especially with the model that you just suggested, how would you give guidance to people like me who already have a kid? And right now I'm starting to think about what would I do if I didn't have my income coming in?
Right. So you've got some decisions to face with your current situation. And it's either, so let's sort of continue that thought pattern that I was leading us down before. If you haven't been able to, for whatever reason, live off of one salary, and then you've got one or maybe two kids, and you're considering dropping a salary to stay at home, because, of course, childcare can be expensive. We'll talk about that in a second. So what you're looking at is a transition, and not an easy one. You're going to have to possibly downsize even a house. If you're in a house already, maybe an apartment, it might take downsizing in order to get your financial life, your spending down below your salary so that you can, and the added expenses of having a child so that you can keep up with everything so that you're not behind financially. So a big change in lifestyle might be needed. Now, if you are a two income family, and you've got childcare expenses, I think what you're kind of alluding to there is, well, now I'm just going off to work. A lot of people find themselves in this position. Now I'm just going off to work just so that I can pay for childcare.
Yes.
So, because childcare is expensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm spending all this time, and you're not only saving childcare costs, but gas to get to and from work. If you have a wardrobe that you have to keep up with, some people don't realize how expensive their work wardrobe is. It can be $100, $200 a month.
Yeah, that's right.
Just to keep up with wardrobe. So now we've got childcare, gas, wardrobe, the wear and tear on a car. I know some couples who drop a car and go down to a one car family when one of the parents decides to stay home because they don't need the car as much. And it's another cost saving technique. So those are some things that I see parents doing to adjust accordingly after they've had kids.
That's great. You know, Blake and I we honestly have been having these conversations and we realized that my car payment is up this summer. I'm going to own the car and not have to pay for
it.
Great.
So that is fantastic.
He's going to not have to pay a month after mine. So all of our car payments are done as of September, and that's going to be a huge chunk of change that we don't have to spend.
Oh, that's just going to be such an amazing day. Oh,
I can't wait to walk out there and say, this ain't the bank's car no more. It's going to be mine.
That's great.
And then it's going to break down, of course, immediately. Yeah. So I'll have to buy a new one. Yeah. So let's just do this. Let's talk about the budget, because I know that's one of the things that when we're discussing our lives, the budget's a tough topic. And is there a template that you would suggest, like certain percentages and what are the biggest trappings that some of new parents may fall into regarding this subject?
Budget is huge. That's our entire message. You know, our brand is Better Conversations on Money and Marriage. Sure. That's all we talk about. Specifically, money within a marriage is such a huge topic of conversation. And as we've all heard, it's the number one leading cause of stress in a marriage, and it's the number one leading cause of divorce. Now it's funny. I say that because we always focus on divorce. Like, money causes more divorces than anything else. But let's talk about the just for a second, the marriages and the relationships that don't ever end in divorce. Well, then there's still a lot of financial stress on that marriage, even if it never ends up in divorce. There's still a lot of stress within a marriage. So let's not forget about that. It doesn't always, lead to or end in divorce. But I just think that budgeting within a marriage is one of the most important things for your relationship. It leads to conversations about lifestyle choices, about priorities, about values. It's a way to practice and strengthen your communication together, even as a couple. So one of the things that I really like about talking about money within a marriage is the non-money or the non-financial benefits that a couple can realize through having those conversations.
How would you even start that conversation? Because whenever Blake and I sit down and we try to talk about our budget, it's kind of like, oh yeah, Wednesday we're going to talk about our budget and we're going to do this. And it's just so tricky. And for people like us who really don't write these things down, we have our credit card statements and we look at our bank accounts every once in a while. Where could people like us even start? Are there templates or are there apps out there? Like, are there any recommendations for beginners like us?
Yeah, there are actually a lot of apps and templates out there. There's software. I don't know if you're software people or more like write it down people or Excel software. Spreadsheet software. Okay. So there's mint.com, which is a website that a lot of people really enjoy. You actually put in your financial information, so like your banks and saving accounts, and it pulls that in for you. So you don't even have to keep track yourself. It automatically pulls it in. So you do have to put in your passwords, but it's secure. I mean, we've done it before. We don't do it right now because we actually have our own template that Derek and I made together. And
Google Docs.
Yep, it's a Google spreadsheet. And you can actually pull that from our website. But it's funny that you mentioned, getting started and how do you have that first conversation? So when Derek and I did our very first budget, it took us upwards of 4 hours. And this is just because we realized, we didn't know this going into it, but we realized that when we started talking about our budget, that we were talking about a lot more than just what he earned and what I earned and what we wanted to spend on things. We were talking about our values and even our history and, why do you think that way? Why do you think that we should spend that much on this thing? And neither of us had ever had to defend those things to anyone else before, because when you're single, you just do what you've always done. And of course, this is the right way. This is how I've always done it. And then you get married and you have to say, That's a good question. Why do I think that way about these things? But it ended up being such a beautiful conversation, and we ended up learning so much more about each other. And after that, you know, when we were able to come to conclusions on, you know, how much do we want to spend on things? What sort of family do we want to be? And what kind of things do we want to be able to do? We got on the same page. And after that, the budget conversation actually became enjoyable for us to do. And, you know, it takes us less than an hour a month now to do our budget.
Wow. You know, that discussion's a difficult one, I think, for a lot of people, regardless of who's working or who's not working. Yeah. But, I mean, for those people who, if there's only one income for this family, how do you have that discussion without right. creating jealousy and saying, oh, you shouldn't be spending this because I'm making that and you're spending way too much? Like, how do you avoid all that and avoid yeah. arguments?
Well, I don't know if avoiding that is the way to actually go about it. I think you bring all of that stuff in and deal with it rather than avoid it. Okay. I know that's kind of a backwards answer to what you're suggesting. You know, how do we get through it?
Yeah.
And so in a marriage, when two people come in to a marriage, it's always going to be unequal or uneven. I just can't imagine that two people have to the penny the same amount of debt, to the penny the same income, you know, and to the same assets. It's just going to be unequal, period, every single time. So learning how to come together and think of money as ours, not his and hers, or not her debt, his student loan, her car payment, his salary. If you continue to think about it in that way, it's going to be difficult. It's going to continue to be difficult. So for example, for us, I didn't have student loans. My dad paid for my college. Thank you, Dad. Carrie had student loans. So when we got married, I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I don't have student loans. You know, what's up with this? These aren't my student loans. But I learned that it's best to just say, you know what? Those are my student loans now. We are paying off our student loans together. And when you sort of get on the same team and you both get on board with the differences between your financial lives previous to being married, and even while you're married, if you're making different decisions even while you're married, both of you have to own it together. And that works so much better when you can both get on the same team and work together. And Carrie has something to say on that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is that it can actually go both ways. So Derek had to come to terms with my debt that I was bringing into the relationship. And I actually had to come to terms with the assets that he had, because I felt like his money wasn't mine. And so, you know, for the first at least month of our marriage, I felt really weird, like walking around, quote, our house, because I felt like it was more his than mine, because I had brought in less into the relationship. So it was a lesson for both of us to be able to learn to say, hey, we're in this together. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours, whether that's debt or whether that's assets.
It sounds like what you're saying then, or you're suggesting at least, is combining bank accounts and putting everything into one pot and considering it yours together.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we recommend doing. That's what has worked well for us. And that's what we advise other couples to do most of the time to encourage those better conversations.
Awesome. Well, I'm just going to speak for us. That's exactly what we did. And your situation is pretty much mirrored to ours. Blake found me and he found this tall, freckled lady. And then once we got engaged, I was like, guess what? I have student loans and don't have a penny to my name. And I'm a poor musician.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, I'm a package.
That's funny.
So what are some really big mistakes that you hear new parents make in regards to their finances?
The first thing, I don't know about the number one thing, but the first thing that always comes to mind is just buying too much stuff. We got so many loaner stuff, and we were gifted so many things, and we found so many things for free and so many things for cheap. And I think a lot of parents, you know, when we had our first child, we bought so much stuff that we didn't need. You don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this. And we also, in our experience, we were also just really lucky that we had so many people give us clothes and just gifts of all kinds. And Carrie, you can talk about this a little bit, how you just even came right out and asked for some maternity clothes and some other things. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously maternity clothes you wear for what? Well, 6 months, let's say, a little bit longer for me. Just haven't quite lost all the baby weight yet.
Girl, don't you worry. Mine is still on me and my kid's 14 months old.
Awesome. Love it. But yeah, I had a lot of friends or a few friends that are about my age and have had kids recently. And I literally went through my phone book and thought, who is around my size and who's had a baby? And then I just called them up and said, do you have any maternity clothes I can borrow? And I literally got all of my maternity clothes either loaned to me or given to me from friends. And my entire wardrobe through my entire pregnancy was, I didn't have to pay a penny for any of it. So I advise doing that. And then also Craigslist is huge. You can get all kinds of inexpensive things for you and for baby just by using Craigslist.
That's fantastic. I don't even want to think about how much I had to spend on maternity clothes because and it is now all given to my best friend. She's pregnant and she thanks me almost once a week for lending her my clothing.
And that's the thing too on when it comes to clothing and some other baby items. I mean, our daughter's 2.5 months old and she's already grown out of dozens of outfits. So we have some outfits that were given to us that she didn't even wear because they grow so fast that they wear them like once or twice and then they outgrow them. So what's the point in having 40 or 50 different outfits when they're only going to wear maybe 10 of them because they grow so fast?
I was reading somewhere that parents today will spend upwards of like $300,000 over their kid up through high school.
Wow.
And it's like a crazy amount of money. Now, whether or not they're saving by going on Craigslist or whatever, who knows? But that's, I think it was according to ABC.com. With that in mind, can you actually save with a baby and a kid?
Yeah.
And like, how do you even approach that? If you're spending $300,000 on a kid in high school, how are you going to save for that kid, save money? So like, again, what's a good target number to reach, you know, either before you have the kid or after you have the kid? What's a good target number to reach for that for your savings?
I think an emergency fund or a baby fund of several thousand dollars is absolutely going to help, curb that transition into having a baby financially. We even know some friends who, after they had their baby, because you have a baby, you can't go out as often anymore. You can't go on, you know, do all the things that you were doing before. And they were like, man, we're actually saving more money now than we were before because we'd rather stay home and just watch our kid, you know, just stare at our kid for entertainment instead of going out. So it can actually be a cheaper lifestyle. Now we're actually back to the lifestyle thing. It's all about lifestyle. It's all about spending less than you earn. That's what everything boils down to. Spend less than you earn. And the way to do that, like we talked about, what we touched on just a little bit ago, is budgeting. You've got to budget out every single dollar and make priorities in your financial life. So continuing to keep up with debt, continuing to keep up with savings and continuing to just maintain whatever lifestyle you've established for yourself. But again, lifestyle, it's got to be flexible. Downgrading has got to be an option, or else, you know, the math isn't going to work and you're going to blow your budget and not be able to save as much as you can. It's easier than you think when you start budgeting and you start tracking your money. That's where the light bulbs go off in everyone I've seen who's started doing a budget. Tracking your money, and all of a sudden you're going, I can't believe we're spending this much money on whatever. And I don't even care about whatever that thing was. I don't even like it all that much. And here we are spending $250 a month on it. Well, $250 a month is a lot of money, especially when you're spending it on something that you don't even really care about all that much, or especially not $250 worth. So tracking your money and budgeting, that's where the light bulbs go off. And that's where you can find those leaks in your financial boat, and you can plug them up, and you'd be surprised how much money you can start saving once you've identified all those leaks.
I remember growing up, my dad was always like, "Oh, well, kid, you got to spend a third of your income on your house, and you know, and then everything else falls together." Do you think that rings true or something?
I think a third is maybe a little high. I think maybe 25%, maybe 30 on housing. It depends on what part of the country you're in, I guess. Housing prices are a lot different in different parts of the country. But definitely housing is going to be your number one biggest, most expense in your life. It's just the way it is. Housing is always the biggest. So in that regard, one of the things I always say is pick a big target, something that's huge, like your house. And if you can knock that down a couple hundred dollars a month, that's going to be a big win right immediately with just making one change in your life. And then another thing is get a whole bunch of really small things, those impulse buys, coffee, you know, soda, eating out, entertainment even. Gather up a whole bunch of little expenses, and you'd be surprised at how fast they add up to big expenses. So when you take those two approaches, kind of approaching it from two different angles, you can really make some progress that way.
We, 1 month, were just trying to track our expenses. And I remember Blake came home and he said, "I can't believe you spent $75 last month at Dunkin' Donuts." And my jaw dropped because I couldn't believe I spent $75 at Dunkin'.
Yeah.
It must have been a really tough month.
Derek, who does that? Who spends $75 at Dunkin' Donuts?
Oh, man.
A lot of people. And I was just getting plain coffee. I wasn't even getting one of those coffee drinks. It could have easily been more. But he came home, and I remember he was so upset. He thought I was like the craziest person in the world. Like, how could you even do this? And I then was kind of put on edge. I didn't want to talk about finances. I just kind of said, "Don't worry about it. I won't go spend that kind of money at Dunkin' Donuts." How do you recommend that partners have these conversations in a way that isn't abrasive? Because let's be honest, the talk about money and finances can be tough. And when you find things like this, when you do start budgeting and you realize that one of you or both of you are spending things like $75 in Dunkin' Donuts, or for me, I would realize how much money Blake would spend on video games. You know, it's these things that you don't necessarily agree with. How do you have these conversations so that it is something that doesn't hurt your marriage?
I think that you have to establish beforehand, you know, like you don't want to approach someone who's just spent $75 on Dunkin' Donuts right when you found out and right as they're coming home and say, throw them against the wall and get really upset about it. But if you are having an ongoing conversation monthly on a budgeting anyway, then that conversation gets a lot easier. And you can even establish beforehand, like, "Hey, this is the way that I want us to approach this, and the way that, if ever one of us is spending more in a category that we hadn't predetermined that amount on, then, this is how we want to approach that. We're going to have a conversation on Friday evenings and lay it all out on the table." And you can actually have it in a very, civilized way and in an organized way and in an expected way. So it's not coming out of left field. But that's another benefit of doing the budget, and especially doing it ongoing, because then, you've got a Dunkin' Donut category on your budget, and you both decide, like, how much are we going to spend on Dunkin' Donuts this month? And you put it down and you agree on that beforehand. And then when you're doing the recap, that information is just going to come up anyway. But then always just remember that you're on the same team and that, you're both going to mess up at certain times. So even when those things happen, you have to be able to go with the flow. You can't expect that you're going to nail the budget every single month, because I think that's just an unrealistic expectation.
So that pretty much wraps up most of our questions, but I do always ask the last question. It's always the same thing. if it's either you, Derek, or you, Carrie, or both, doesn't right. matter. If there's one thing you guys want to like really emphasize to our listeners about what we're talking about here today, whether you've already covered it or not, doesn't matter. What's the one thing you want to get across to everybody that's listening?
You know, the one thing that I would like to get across is that money within your marriage can be a cause or a force for good and strengthening your marriage. It's not only something to avoid or only going to be this, you know, always an argument, always negative, always bad. It can be good. It can be fun. I swear, nobody believes me, but I swear, when Carrie and I do our monthly budget, we have fun. We enjoy it. We enjoy planning out our monthly budget. I swear, we actually have fun. So money within a marriage doesn't always have to have this negativity surrounding it. It can really be a positive thing in a marriage.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think also just don't be intimidated by the finance conversation, and especially when you're thinking about kids, because I think that that can be a real a time of life when people think, I've really got to have this together. And, you know, obviously you do. But you don't know how much you need until you plan that out. And it might turn out that a baby costs less than you think. I believe that people can definitely spend $300,000 on a kid all the way from, you know, birth to high school. But I think you can also spend a lot less than that. So, you know, just don't be intimidated by it. Plan it out. And, do a budget.
Yeah.
Those are really great tips. And honestly, Blake and I are going to be inspired. I think we're going to make a date night, a stay-in date night to do our budget together. That way it's like romantic and fun. And
you know what we're not going to have? Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, no. It will not be sponsored by Dunkin', sadly. You're right.
Hey, you know, if it was sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, that might be...
It would be a grand celebration of doing the budget. You're right. Well, thank you both so much, Derek and Carrie. This was just awesome chatting thank with you. You guys. And we really enjoyed having you here on ParentCast.
Thank you guys so much. We had a blast.
Awesome. Thanks. So glad to be here. Amelie says bye, too.
Oh, great. Bye, Amelie. Thank you.
Okay, so they're super nice. Mm-hmm. They're awesome new parents. I fell in love with them by watching the pictures of their home birth.
Which, you know what?
Okay, so I'm a little creepy that I like saw these pictures. I know, we can admit it to the world.
And
but
like you creeped
so...
on them too, as well.
They have it up on their website.
I know, but...
Ugh. No. They put it up there and it's beautiful. I'm going to put a link for it in our show notes and you too can fall in love with Derek and Carrie and Amelie because it's absolutely beautiful. But they're really on track with their finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in awe because I sit here and I think that I'm a full-fledged adult. I'm mature, responsible. And then I listen to some of the simple suggestions that they have and I'm a hot mess.
Yeah, I love the suggestion. And he said it early on in the interview, which was live on one salary if you can. And if you have to downsize, buddy, that's it. You got to downsize. That's how it goes. And I also got to say, too, that I feel a little emasculated. His voice is just too good.
Gosh, it is. It's not even good. It's like butter.
It's butter. It's butter on chocolate. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh, that would be so delicious.
I know.
Butter
right?
on chocolate.
You want to do it?
You can tell that we're on the whole 30 plan right now.
Oh my
right
God,
now.
I know. By
we
the way,
seen butter or chocolate.
By the
forever.
Way, this whole 30 thing sucks. Hate the whole 30.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say that, but it is what it is. But Derek and Carrie, they were fantastic. I'm so glad that we had them on. I want to have them back because they were just great. And once you guys hear this, I know you've just heard the interview, but I want them back again. They're awesome. We can just talk about chocolate on butter. How's that?
This sounds great. Chocolate on butter. Maybe we can save some money. So we know what we're going to be doing this week is we are going to write our budget.
Yeah. And I take some testosterone pills to lower my voice, just like Derek.
Okay. All right, Derek. Calm down yourself. So in addition to us realizing that we aren't in the financial state that we'd love to be, mm-mm. I think we should just kind of go with the vibe and let's just vent. Let's talk about our wines of the week.
Marvin, I've been complaining all episode. How about you? What do you got?
I'm going to wine. Mm-hmm. A very long, drawn-out wine.
Okay.
I have my P
period.
Why are you talking like Daria?
Hi, I'm Daria. Go to hell.
Because I feel like Daria. I feel that emo. And I've been wearing my glasses. And my hair's huge because the humidity is disgusting. And periods in general are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should have warned me that periods after you have a baby are hell. Like, not terrible, but they're hell. It's like every single cramp you had during labor, except for the really bad ones, comes back, but you have it for days.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget how much it stinks to wear tampons and like pads. And you wish that the nurses who are with you in your after delivery unit were there picking up the little pee pads underneath you again, because you just don't want to move. You just want to eat chocolate and butter and not have to take care of anything. And you ache. And normally I would just eat chocolate and watch
butter.
And I would watch all of the Harry Potter movies. Like, that's what I would do for my 5 days of my period. Mm-hmm. I would say, Blake, I'm my period. Please leave me alone. I'm watching Sorcerer's Stone. Except now I have a toddler. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to crawl on my belly. He likes to kick in my belly.
Jump
if he's
on
lying
you.
Next to me. Jump. And if I'm not holding him at all times, he just signs up and cries. So periods, they suck. And that's my really long line.
You know what I'm glad about?
That you don't have a period?
Damn straight. There's no way. Oh my God. I don't, like, it freaks me out even just like talking about it.
Yeah. I know. It's disgusting. It's terrible. And yet it's the circle of life. I don't care. They suck. They absolutely suck. Especially after you have a baby. It's,
all set.
Yeah. All set.
Way
that's my
all
wine.
Set. My wine? My kid's penis in his man area. It's all like inflamed.
Yeah, you want to know what
gross.
It's called?
It's like, ugh.
What's it called?
I don't know. What's it called?
A yeast infection.
That's what it is?
Did you know boys could even get yeast infections?
I don't even know what a yeast infection is.
Exactly.
Exactly.
See, all girls know what a yeast infection is. We're very careful when we wipe front to back. Front to back for a reason, all uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. You don't mix the two. But sometimes little boys in those diapers.
Do I got to wipe front to back with the kid?
You're supposed to have been wiping front to back all this time with him.
That's, well, I don't know.
Are you serious? Have you been just like smudging? You've been smudging everything. Poop, pee, everything.
I don't
over?
Wipe front to back.
Well, he's a baby.
Yeah, well, we still got the same pots.
Oh, I don't really understand. You, whatever. Yes, our son has a yeast infection.
So you tell me I got to wipe front to back.
I don't know about you. You're supposed to be with our baby, so now we might understand why he has the issues that he has, and now he has a prescription.
Listen, it ain't my fault. When the kid gets put away, he's clean, okay? That's how it goes. But listen, he's got an inflamed penis. It's getting on his, like, it's getting, all right, can I say this? It's getting on his balls. Can I say that?
You just did.
Okay,
so.
All right. So it's getting on his balls, and it's, like, red, and, oh, man. And like, it just looks uncomfortable.
I'm just looking at you now with these judging eyes because I'm realizing why this happened to hey,
whoa,
my kid.
Time out. All right, I'm issuing it. The calm down. Here it is.
Front to back.
Calm
I
down.
Think we learned that in our baby preparedness class. Front to back.
No. I learned how not to kill the kid. That's what I learned from the baby preparedness
class. You didn't learn how not to give him a yeast infection. They need to add that to the manual.
I feel like I would remember that subject in that class. I would have taken like notes, been like, bro, I don't know what yeast infections are. You want to help me out? But apparently not. I don't know.
All right.
That's my wine. It sucks to
you. We have really gross TMI wines. I'm sorry, guys. These are really winey
but
wines.
But you're
this week.
Listening to us.
Yay. So here's our wins. Here's the uplifting, exciting things going on in our life. Blake, what has been just off the charts awesome for you this week?
U.S. soccer is finally eliminated from the World Cup.
You know that there are people hissing at you right now.
I don't care. All you people are pink hats. And now I don't have to listen to anybody talking about the World Cup. I don't got to go on Facebook and read about the World Cup. I don't have to deal with the World Cup. Soccer is now out of my life. Thank God. Thank God. That it's over. I can't stand it. I hate soccer, and it's by far the best thing to happen to me all week. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm, I'll take it. How about you, Marvin? What do you got?
My child signed Banana. It was awesome. We've talked about my love of sign language and how I'm pretty sure it kept me sane during the colic time, as I'd be like, if I teach him how to sign, one day he'll stop crying. If I teach him how to sign, one day he'll stop crying. He hasn't stopped crying.
No,
but
no, not even close.
He's now signing all different kinds of things. And the other day he was eating a banana and Blake took the banana away because Blake likes to tease him. And the little baby, Reese, started to sign more. And I said, Reese, do you want more banana? And I showed him with my fingers how to do banana. And then I took his fingers and I did it. And sure enough, he signs more banana
on
his
great?
Own. And it was awesome. Blake, myself, and another person in the room, we were like, whoa, our minds were blown.
Scholarship.
Him sign banana. So I am really excited that all of my sign language has paid off and my child can sign for a banana.
The other sign language that he did too that I really loved to happen today, actually, during dinner. He said he was all done, gave me the all done sign. And then as soon as he's done with the all done sign, pointed up.
Yeah.
I'm done. And I want to go up. Pick me up.
It's like a
servant.
Whole sentence.
I know. He's like talking in paragraphs now.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's pretty intense. Today, we even had him out. I was out in the little kiddie pool, and he was sitting in the pool, and he was waving to everybody, and we're chilling out, and he's asking for more, meaning more of the pool. And all of a sudden, across the garden, he sees the apricot that I brought out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
He points at it and signs eat.
Does he really?
Swear to God. I was with our neighbors and they were like, oh, look at him. He wants to eat. And I was like, yep, that's my 14-month-old signing away, eating all my food.
Well, you see, we're going to need a special session with Derek and Carrie because the kid's eating me dry. We don't have any freaking money left because he's eating so much. He's a tank.
He is.
He's a total tank.
We don't need to worry about saving for college. We need to worry about saving for our fridge.
We need to save
for a Sam's Club membership.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, how much food can a 14-month-old possibly eat? Can anybody tell me?
All I know is that when he is 14 years old, we are going to need to take out a second mortgage.
We're
going
to need to live in a cardboard box in order to downgrade that much.
Maybe you can have him work at a restaurant at that age, like be a busboy and he can eat the table scraps.
he'll eat them dry too.
You're right.
Place to go out of business.
He'll be fired.
Oh my God.
That happened
just
to
like
my
your brother.
My brother was a busboy, and he used to be able to eat for free, and they changed the rules of the restaurant because he ate too much of their food. This restaurant is like a staple in Warwick, Rhode Island, and all the boys that I've ever known growing up have worked there, and they used to be able to eat for free, and they changed the rule after my brother worked there. So if Reese has any of the Earl blood... Oh. He's not allowed to work in a restaurant.
You know, he may look like me, but he is totally you. He eats like a champ, and he's so freaking sociable. He talks to every single person. He waves at like anything. He sees a bird fly by, he waves at it. He's going to believe in unicorns and rainbows, just like you.
Oh, he already does. I tell him all about them every day.
Oh, my God.
All right. So those were our wins of the week. We are beaming. Let's put on our Dexter music.
That was awesome, by the way. You're the one who called out the Dexter time.
I mean, I've never watched Dexter because I hate blood.
I know, but you watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
There's more. There's just as much blood in Game of Thrones as there is Dexter.
But there's also Peter Dinklage, and he's just so good. I'm going to miss him for a year. So what is your parent pick of the week? What do you recommend people check out or do?
This is a little self-serving, but go listen to our other podcast called The Living Reminders.
What is that?
It's a podcast dedicated to the show The Leftovers on HBO. And Mary and I saw this show. We have had great success, thanks to you guys, the listeners, with this podcast. And we said, screw it. Let's go make another podcast about a show that we thought would be really cool. I would love to do that. So now we're podcasting about this show. And I'd love for you guys to go out and listen to it if you're going to watch it. As a matter of fact, they're also putting the show on for free on Yahoo Screens. So you can watch the show. You don't even need HBO to watch it.
I don't even know what Yahoo Screens is.
Yeah, it's part of Yahoo. Go to Yahoo and you'll see Yahoo Screen.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
All right.
So that's my parent pick. Go listen to our other podcast, The Living Reminders.
Perfect.
How about you, kiddo?
My recommendation is to get, there's a new carrier that I like. And for those of you who read my blog, Tall Mom, Tiny Baby, or you see me out, I still wear our child. And he is, what, 30 pounds?
Oh, he's pushing 35, guaranteed.
Yeah, he's, as Blake said, he is a tank. So I'm really big into baby wearing, especially because he had colic. It was one of the few things that could calm him down. And there's this new carrier that I want to recommend. It's called, it's by this company, Lilla Baby, Lilla Baby. And this carrier is the complete all seasons carrier. Mm-hmm. And the reason is you can wear it winter, spring, summer, fall. Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
All you got to do is call.
Not only can you wear it all four seasons.
And I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've got a friend. There are six carrier positions, which I haven't tried another carrier that you can carry a kid in six different ways. So that is really awesome. Here's the reason that I love it. A, it's a little breathable because when you wear it in the summer, it's bloody hot. But the big thing that I like about this is it comes with a lumbar support.
Oh.
Which I've never seen another baby carrier do that. And when your front when you have the baby on your front, it can really weigh on your back. You pretty much feel like you're pregnant all over again. And so this extra insert piece helps support your back. So I contacted the people from Lilla Baby, and I really enjoy this carrier so much. They're going to be doing a giveaway with me for the Lilla Baby carrier.
Time out. I did not know about this.
I know. This is so exciting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you're going to want to go to parentcastpodcast.com, and that will link you to my blog, Tall Mom, Tiny Baby. And this carrier is worth $135.
Whoa.
Someone out there is going to get an awesome all-seasons carrier.
Wow. Can you tell me what the lumbar is? Like, I heard that term like my entire life. What is a lumbar?
Okay, you know when you're sitting up straight and your body makes kind of like an S and it dips above your butt. Like sit up straight right now. Mm-hmm. So your butt sticks out and then it dips in like a C and then it goes up. So your lumbar is where it starts to dip like a C. And that's where if you have good lumbar support in your car, it's that part that kind of pushes out a little bit. Sometimes when you're uncomfortable, you might put a little pillow there when you're sitting. So that's your lumbar area. Oh. And you know, it can ache a lot. And especially if you're wearing a 35-pound child on your belly, or even if you just had a baby recently and you were pregnant for so long and you want to have that support, because you lose your core support when you have a child growing in there. You just need that extra help. But you see people, you know, when guys are doing weightlifting or if they're doing really heavy lifting.
Oh, they got the belts.
Yeah, that protects their lumbar.
Oh.
So if you want to be really super masculine and be like, oh, I'm protecting my lumbar. Yep. I'm doing some heavy lifting with my kid. Look at me. Flex, flex. Ooh,
you know who wears a lumbar support?
Who?
Derek. Guarantee it. He's like super manly. I guarantee you he wears a lumbar.
He might have
support.
A little baby all season. So that is my parent pick of the week, guys. Check it out. I will have a link on our show notes on parentcastpodcast.com. But my blog is Tall Mom, Tiny Baby.
Wow.
And
cool
we'll
giveaway.
Have a link for it. Thank you. I'm pretty pumped about it. I love this carrier.
God, I still can't get over how well you dance during the Dexter music, even though you don't even watch Dexter.
I really feel it. I just feel like I'm on an island and someone threw a lay over me and I'm dancing by a fire. It's pretty exciting. You're right. I do dance every single time.
It's super cute, too.
So if people want to contact us, Blake, they can head on over to our website. It's parentcastpodcast.com. We'd love for you guys to come check us out. We always have a cute little picture. Blake puts them up. He puts a lot of hard work into them.
Yes, I do.
And you get to read our show notes, and Blake also adds a little witty stuff, but you'll also be able to get links to all of the things about Derek and Carrie. So we're going to make sure that all of their stuff is up there.
And
check
please
it out.
Please go visit them because they're really smart. They have a really awesome podcast. We have subscribed to it, and they know what they're doing. So if you want to get in touch with us via Facebook, because I do the Facebook all the time, if someone replies to you via Facebook, it's probably me. So just know that. You can reach us at facebook.com/parentcast.
And for the ADD person in the relationship, which is me, I'm on Twitter. I can handle 140 characters. Our Twitter handle is @parentcast. We also want to remind you guys, you can always email us
over at parentcast@gmail.com. Com.
But most importantly, we want you to head on over to iTunes. I know that you're listening to this podcast and you may be driving, you may be doing the dishes, maybe going for a walk with your kid. But if you found the information in today's podcast really useful or interesting or funny, or if you know, if you would recommend it to a friend, we would love for you to go to iTunes, share it with a friend, but most importantly, rate and review us. Mm-hmm. If you rate us and you give us a good amount of stars, other people are more likely to find this podcast and enjoy being part of the ParentCast family.
5 stars only. That's the only thing I will accept. I'm sorry. I don't care if you hate us. That's what I'm taking.
All right. Good.
And the other thing I want you to do, too, is I want you to get in touch with us via the ParentCast hotline. Call and do a judgment-free zone story. Do a wine of the week. Do a win of the week. Just tell me that you hate us. Tell me that you love us. I don't care what you say. Call us and give us some stories so we can put it in our listener feedback. And maybe if you have a good one, we'll just forego our entire judgment-free story. And you can have a judgment-free story on our podcast.
Speaking of which, we have some great feedback from our listener, Carl, who is going to share with us his wine of the week. Take it away, Carl.
Hey, this is Carl from Rhode Island. A new dad of two little girls, and it's crazy. I'm a school teacher, and been 6 weeks since my newborn, and it's summer right now, and I'm on summer vacation. I'm ready to go back to work. It's too much. it's tiring. It's a man on man. This with one kid, you get downtime, but with two, you always have to be on. So just venting about that. Probably other obviously parents have dealt with that, but it's a whole different experience when you're doing it yourself. So, man, I want to go back to work. All right.
Thanks, Carl, for calling in. Oh, my God. Two kids, two daughters, and you got to deal with that. I can't imagine any rest whatsoever when you have two kids. Like, I'm apprehensive of having two kids because of that phone call now.
I can't even have one kid in a period. I can't even fathom having two kids either. Carl, I'm sorry, man. You know, usually teachers are so excited about having summers off, and really it just means that you get to have your summer with your two girls, which can be even more tiring than a classroom of, what, like 28 kids?
Oh, my God. If I wasn't on this stupid Whole30 diet, I'd have a beer for you. So I'll just have my cool glass of water. How's that sound?
It's watermelon-infused water, Blake. It's very special water.
Still,
well, thank you, Carl. Thank you, Carl, so much for calling in. And who knows, maybe Blake can send you a beer over the internet.
I know. We actually got so many voicemails and so much feedback. We're kind of running tight on time right now. So anybody that sent in the voicemails to us for this week's episode, you will be played next week, I promise. And we didn't forget about you, Facebook and Twitter people, either. All that stuff will be said next week. I'm sorry, but we just got so much information from Derek and Carrie and us that we have to kind of forego a little bit of it. Sorry.
But we still love you guys.
Yes. So be get in touch with us. Call the ParentCast hotline. I promise you'll get on. Call the number 503-454-6730.
Or you can just go to ParentCastPodcast.com, and there's a little button right there for you. You just need to click it and you can leave your voicemail right there.
That's it. Hey, babe, let's close out the show. This thing's taking forever now.
Wraps up episode 18 of ParentCast. What do we have coming up for number 19, Blake?
A very special episode all about breastfeeding.
Ooh.
A man's favorite dream.
Ew. You're disgusting. Anyway.
Look, hey, get us the feedback. I know we didn't play all of it this week, but we will next week, I promise. And if it's good, we'll get it on the air. And if it sucks, well then, as always, you left out. Later.
I'm still grossed out by you. That was really gross.
What, guys can't like breastfeeding? What's the problem with that?
I mean, you can be proud of it and think that it's a great nourishment for a child, but...
I think guys would like breastfeeding. I'm not going to lie.
I am so grossed out. That's what people on Craigslist do. I'm all set with you.
People on Craigslist get like peed on and stuff.
And...
And breastfeed?
Yeah, I think I'm going to sleep in a different room. ParentCast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
Before.